Hello, it's the Footcast. It's episode number 145. We talk about Nintendo. I'm Stephen, and hello, I'm Stephen. With me today is Troy. Hey, Troy, what's going on your end of the world?
My end of the world. Oh, it's Canberra. Yes. Yeah, it's the end of the world.
It is. Cool. Well, that's nice. And Daniel, hello.
Hi. I'll try not to swear as much this episode.
And he's back from outer space. We just walked in to find him here with that sad look upon his face. It's James. Hello.
Hello, but I know what that is, but I don't.
It's, what? Oh, I can't even remember the name of the song.
It was from Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Oh, yeah. I was singing it.
I was going to say Men in Black.
Oh. I'm not
it's
in
clearly
black.
An iconic tune.
Yeah.
Ever so. Or something, isn't it? Yeah.
Well, yes, James is back. He's been away for a while, but
in Pog
he's
form?
Back now. He's not in Tarzos. Pog form. He's
Funko
yeah,
Pop.
We had
Funko...
Tarzos here. Gosh,
he'll be Funko Pop form.
We're all hanging about because the Switch came out. It's kind of exciting. There's a lot to talk about. There's a little bit of news to start off with, but I think we'll be spending most of the time talking about all the fun games we've been playing. So to get right into the news, we've got. Firstly, one that I'm kind of happy with, but I've seen some backlash about, Nintendo are going to be a lot more conservative about letting indies onto the Switch. So there was a lot of, I guess this is all my opinion, of course, but there was a lot of dubious quality games on the Switch, I guess is one way
what
to put
was
it.
Was it Meme Run or some shit? Like Ninja Pig Studios, whatever the hell they are. And
Meme Run was one. There was Trash Bear
thing or something.
The letter.
Epic Dumpster
yeah.
Bear.
Yeah,
the letter.
That's the one.
There are all these like sort of first person adventure, Slender Man horror crap things.
And a lot of like flashy, well, like flash games that people who are young probably don't remember how garbage they were. But yeah, so they're probably not going to be on the Switch anytime soon. Basically, Nintendo have said they're going to be much more selective with which indie developers are going to be on the Switch, but they might open it up later on once they've sort of worked out, hopefully, a benchmark to work towards, I guess.
Once they're not getting as many applications, they go, no, come in, seriously, just we'll let it
maybe.
In.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I think it's a good thing, because we've sort of seen this work pretty well all the way back to like a 360 when you had Summer of Arcade, you had, you know, not every indie game could get on there, but the ones that did get on were really, you know, really quite good, and they were able to be promoted by Microsoft, and PS4 sort of has done the same thing a bit with indies being a fairly big focus. So yeah, hopefully the Switch
Xbox
does well.
Xbox sort of did it well because they had the Indie Marketplace or something. What was it called? Like, we couldn't get it down here, but
yeah, that sort of, I can't remember what it was called, but I know the one you're talking about, sort of where anyone could submit stuff made with, like, the Xbox game engine or whatever.
And then, like, the normal sort of arcade was for the more curated
for the stuff that was, like, actually good.
Yeah.
Yes, basically.
Except for Braid, because that was shit.
Well. Sure, let's just go with that.
The sentiment of this, because you can't have you can't have the eShop competing with, you know, Othello, Night Caliber,
and From Into the Sky.
Wow. Yeah, how do we deal with that?
You can't muddy the waters when you got stuff of that caliber on the eShop already.
Yeah, I think this is good, but I look at the Xbox One, which is kind of doing an opposite thing almost, where anyone who owns an Xbox One can develop for it, and to me, there's just nothing on Xbox One that is, like, digitally speaking, that's, like, a huge standout. A lot of it is, like, I think the other day, I know after every session of a game we go through and make fun of the shit that's on there, and, like, there's, like, a Frozen Match 3 game on an Xbox One, like, digital store. Like, I just don't think...
Why did I sell my Xbox?
Yeah, I just don't think that stuff will happen as much on... I hope that that's what this means, is, like, that there won't be stuff like that on eShop. It's going to be a little bit more, I guess, as one of you said, curated.
I think, like, one thing we might miss out on, like, is you know, Xbox has the early access program, a little bit like Steam, but a little bit less crappy than Steam.
But, like, are you really missing out
on... No, no, I don't really mind. Like, Astroneer looks nice, but...
Yeah, yeah, like, there are good products on there. But, like, I just think it's just easier for everybody involved if you just sell finished games, like... I know that might sound really old-fashioned, but, like, I just don't
think... No. I agree. Like, at least get it to a point where you think it's ready to release. Like, I know, I can understand getting a lot of people to test a game, but I don't really, not really cool with paying $30 to be able to test a game before it's finished. But yeah, any other thoughts, Troy? Or Daniel?
I mean, they've got a pretty good line, like, you know, that Indie Direct we had the other week, they've got a pretty good lineup for the foreseeable future. So, I mean, if they can keep the quality of the games that we were shown sort of, you know, going, even if it was just like maybe one really good game every week, that would be fine, I think. I mean, like, I followed the 3DS eShop pretty closely, and that had weeks of, oh, there'll be a few good things, and then it's just dribbling shits for, I've already sworn. for a few weeks. So, I mean, this looks a lot more promising. Like, what we've got sort of lined up looks really good.
Yeah, I mean, there's already like 62 lined up for the rest of the year, I think it was, and who knows how many more is going to appear.
And I mean, like, I've seen stuff I'd never even heard of before. Like, I'm in love with Pocket Rumble, so I'm like, just I want that now.
So I guess on to the next or the last piece of news. It's not terribly newsy, but the Switch has sold a lot. So the information we've got, they've sort of been trickling in over the last few days. In Japan, apparently they've sold about 331,000 units, which puts it sort of equal to the PS4's launch weekend and a bit above the Vita's launch weekend.
So can I just say, someone was sharing on Twitter stats of the, how all the various console launches have gone in Japan. And, like, the one that got me the most was Game Boy Advance launched at 611,000 units.
Far out.
I know. I mean, just the logistics of, like, that releasing in Japan where, you know, like, people would have been lining up for hours and all that.
It probably helped that they were a lot cheaper than the Switch is now. But
also, the market was very different.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, absolutely. Look, I'm not poo-pooing this at all. Like, that's great numbers. And, I mean, apparently they were sold out. That is literally almost as much as they could get out there.
And, yeah, sort of to add to those numbers, the UK was less impressive sounding, but apparently the Switch sold about 80,000 on opening weekend, compared to 40,000 for the Wii U, 105 for the Wii, and 113 for the 3DS. So... not going too bad. And the US doesn't have any specific numbers, but Reggie Fils-Aimé has said the Switch exceeded first two-day sales in Americas for any Nintendo system or any system in Nintendo history, including the Wii. So that's, I mean, considering the Wii was impossible to find for a good 6 months in the US, that's
and
pretty good numbers.
GameSpot CEO said that it was the biggest console launch in years, but that's such an ambiguous...
GameStop. Yes. Yeah, I'd heard that as well.
I find that in really strange. Like, I don't know. I just feel like the PS4 and the Xbox One would have done more numbers than the Switch, but maybe not.
Yeah, that's why, it was like 3 years ago those ones came out?
Is it four? Three, 4 years? Yeah.
Oh, man.
I mean, again, it all comes down to demand as well. I mean, sorry, supply. Like, from what I'm aware, like, you couldn't pre-order one in America very easily, so they are...
Yeah, they left it very last year.
It's hard to,
as
like,
a very anecdotal
thing. So differently, like, over in America and Japan and stuff. Like, they have a date when pre-orders start, whereas, like, at EB and I'm sure JB, like, you know, you could pre-order an NX months ago, years ago.
Yeah, before you even know what it is.
Yeah, before you even know what it is. So it's a bit different, I guess, but I do find it weird the way that the US and the... you know, Japan and stuff do things, but yeah.
I mean, just as a sort of anecdotal numbers, did we all go to sort of launch day stores and sort of see how it went at that point?
It was nuts.
Midnight launch.
Oh, nice. Like myself, I was down in Bunbury, which is a smaller city down in WA.
Abandoned
I didn't line
me.
Up with Daniel. I left Daniel to line up in the rain. But it was basically me and the friend I went with who was in the store, so it wasn't terribly busy there, but it was not really a big central city. Oh, well, that's nice. Were there lots of people for you?
I think... Oh, I would have been saying in the chat to Vuk and all you guys, I think there was about, I want to say 30, maybe 40 people lined up. Like, I went to that same EB for when Pokemon Sapphire and Ruby came out, and there was a ton more people for that.
Okay.
But there was still a fair few people there. Annoyingly, I was the 11th in line, and they were giving out like special gift bags to the first 10. I would have been
just the first 10.
Yeah, I would have been in the first 10, but when I got there, I saw, oh, there's only 4 people. I'll just go for a quick walk and get a drink. And then when I came back, there was 10.
I'm sure the gift bag wasn't too incredible.
Yeah, it would have been shit.
It's the gift bag that I got. It's weird.
But I mean, yeah, like, because you were at a midnight launch, that might have been a bit more of an event, I guess, Troy?
Yeah, I think it was all up. When I got there, there was, I think, 10 people in line already. And then by the end of it, I think they went up into the 50s, 60s.
Okay.
And this is Canberra, but I don't know if that means that there's just nothing else to do on a Friday or Thursday night.
Just like, what do I do? Go line up for a video game machine.
Drunkenly stumble into a Switch launch.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm here now.
I've got a credit card.
Go buy fireworks.
Well, I had people walking past because it's right next to the cinema, and they were walking past and asking, oh, what's everyone lining up for?
Is there a new iPhone out?
I'll slap you.
Did you have any particular, a huge amount of people when you grabbed yours, James?
Yes. There was people all day. But, like, I don't know. It's it was busy. Like, you know, it was so different when I walked in to grab my Wii U. Like, it was kind of like, And then people were like, what are you here for? And, like, I was like, oh, my Wii U. And they're like, oh, really?
Wow.
Where it was like, whereas with Switch, like, there was just lots of people and, like, you know, everyone was grabbing, like, 5 to 7 things at once. Accessories,
nice.
Like, did quite well, I noticed, while I was there. Yeah. Anecdotally speaking, like, I feel like this has just done so much better than the Wii U. Like, the buzz is just so much better. There's still, I'm sure there's still people going in and asking for them. The supply seems to be quite good this time. Like, I was a bit worried that it was going to be like another mini NES kind of situation.
Yeah, unless you want a neon one, it seems like you're pretty okay.
You could even go into like most stores now and get a neon one, because I'm sure you heard about how places won't hold after the 5th or something. So,
oh yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I reckon if you went into most stores, you could probably get a neon now too. Obviously, neon's lower, like in terms of supply, but yeah, I think it's generally been a pretty solid launch. I reckon Nintendo is pretty happy with it. It's just now they just have to get the games out.
Yeah, got to sort of keep it up. They've had the marketing. Like, it's the first time I remember seeing so much marketing for a Nintendo launch, or at least, you know, the Wii U didn't get anywhere near what I've seen. There's, like, signs above Perth freeways and stuff like that, which I'd never expect to see for any other system.
I don't think the 3DS even got this level.
No,
I don't think so.
But, I can't even remember the 3DS. I got mine from that Big W deal with Rayman.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Dick Smith, was it?
It might have been, yeah. Man, remember Dick Smith?
Yeah.
I think a big part of the marketing as well is, like, it's such an easier system to sell the idea of. Like, the Wii U, even now, is still, like, it's a strange concept to explain to someone, whereas the idea of the Switch is, like, hey, it's, you know, you can play it wherever, however, with as many people as you want. So it's easy to make ads around that and have it easily sellable to people who don't closely follow the game industry
stuff. I think for a lot of people, I think Wii U was a concept that people would be like, oh, like, I've gone and just get that tablet for my Wii, or, like, people would be like, oh, like, is so, like, what does it do? Or can I take it out with me? And it's like, no, it's a new console. Oh, that's expensive. And like... And then,
what, the controller's the console?
Yeah.
That's what I got a lot.
I don't get it.
Whereas this is out and right blatant. Yeah, it's a new console.
I've already got a Wii.
It does a lot of different things.
I do feel like, the messaging with Switch has been, like, ridiculously better. Like, even just having a different name is crazy.
And right? How the name actually explains what it is, whereas, like, a U at the end of Wii, what does that even mean?
What did it even mean? I couldn't even tell, like, I don't know.
I mean, to be fair, what did Wii ever mean? Like,
it means, like, we, whatever. Play together. I'm not going to talk about it.
It was like you, me, we, or some it was like, garbage. I can't remember.
It's like we played together. Like you're
challenging me to a Wii fight. You, me, we, car park.
Let's go.
What about you? And what about you?
you need a crowd.
Well, I guess sort of talking about that whole, you know, concept of how it makes more sense than the Wii U as, you know, as a system, that sort of goes into our general thoughts on how the Switch is and what we like about it. I think sort of the biggest sort of takeaway I found from it is it takes that whole Wii U concept and makes it what it should have been in the first place, probably what they couldn't have done 4 years ago. It's the controller is the system. You can answer yes to the people who have that question. That's you can take it out, you can do... play exactly the same games wherever you are. It's I'm kind of in love with the concept, especially after actually using it.
The difference is, though, I don't think the gamepad or the tablet or whatever we call it, the console, I guess, that's not how you play the game, though. Like, that's the difference, you know. But I guess towards the end of Wii U, the tablet wasn't really used at all.
Especially not on the last game just released.
What was that? Is it not? Is Zelda not?
No.
No, it has no touchscreen whatsoever, apparently.
Oh, that's
it's as nuts. As much as Donkey Kong.
Oh, my God. Right. That's terrible.
Well, it was meant to, but they stripped it. Because they wanted to have it on the Switch, and you don't have two screens on the Switch.
I don't know. It's, I think that that's the big difference as well. Like, there's no weird... There's not really a gimmick around it in terms of gameplay. It's more like a hardware gimmick this time. If that makes sense.
Yeah, and I guess the gimmick is easy to sell, like...
The one to, like, the controllers and...
The Joy-Cons are...
But are they not the hardware?
Can be a gimmick.
Yeah, they are. Okay, yeah.
But I guess at the same time, they are less of a... It's not like the entire system has been designed around being able to play games like 1-2 Switch. It's like... It's got all these extra features, but the main game that they're selling with it is... For all intents and purposes, sort of a very traditional console game.
Yeah.
So they're not sort of hanging their hat on it.
Oh, what's this one?
Zelda.
One of them didn't have
it's
Zelda.
Bomberman.
Ah, yes.
Okay. I thought it was Othello that was shown in the Wii U.
I don't even know what that is.
It's an old Japanese sort of tabletop game with the black and white.
I don't think I really said I wanted to know, though.
Okay. My mistake.
Let's see. What else have we got? So I really like the smell? Sort of the options for the controllers. Smell? Oh, yeah. I guess there's a smell as well. So what? Did everyone smell it?
No.
Yes.
The first thing I did.
What, you smelt your console?
For James and anyone else who's not quite aware of what's going on, in fact, I'm not quite sure what's going on. I know that in one of the Nintendo videos, they smelled it.
Troy just told me to sniff it, so I did. And
Troy, why are we smelling our Switches?
Because I told you to, apparently.
Okay, well, that's why. Has anyone tasted their Switch cartridge?
Oh, actually,
console,
no. Console, yes. Cartridge, no.
Oh, you're missing out. No.
So was that deliberate, though? Did they deliberately put that on there?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah,
so kids don't it's swallow the same them stuff, and stuff.
Yeah, it's the same stuff that you put on your fingernails to stop you from biting them.
Yeah.
So, of course, because I've got a scientific mind, I definitely tried it. And the thing is, when they say taste, like it's a foul taste, it means it's entirely on your tongue. It's not like a...
It's
you
not
know
really...
people talk about taste with like a smell... You know, that whole jam?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's entirely on your tongue. It's just like an uncomfortable feeling on your tongue.
But it, like, keeps going, and it's it's like an active taste. Like
apparently it gave someone a cardiac arrest.
Like 3D taste.
HD taste.
Yes, like HD Rumble, but HD taste.
New feature.
I guess, has anyone tried HD Rumble getting onto sort of the controller side of things?
I have. Nobody here played 1-2 Switch besides me?
No, I have.
I played it at Vuk's place on the weekend.
Oh, good. That's good. I like...
Briefly, I only played like the guess how many balls your opponent has and try and bluff them out game.
Yeah,
that's
wonder
the best
how,
HD Rumble.
How easy it is to do, like, in a game.
Well, if you're playing Fast RMX, it's just full blast.
Yeah. I mean, like, in terms of, like, a developer, like, if they want to put it into their game, like, I think if the applications for this, I reckon they'd be amazing. Like, imagine if in Skyrim, like, you could feel, like, the crackling of lightning or, like, the in your controller when you're about to cast a spell, or like the clang of a sword. Like that would be.
You could definitely do it too.
The one I keep going back to is Trauma Center on the Switch, using the Joy-Cons, and you're just trying to, you know, move inside the human body without touching, you know, without hitting the bone too hard or something. You have to sort of feel those really delicate...
Adventure in the body, like Magic School Bus? Or...
Yeah, yes, yes.
It's sort of... I mean, I haven't used it enough to say, but it reminds me in concept of the... Is it the impulse triggers on Xbox One? Like how you can feel the texture of, say, a road you're driving on or something? I guess they could do similar things in Mario Kart. I don't think there's going to be many other racing games on the Switch, but
maybe. I think I haven't used, like, because apparently the Pro Controller has all the same kinds of things as the Joy-Cons in terms of the HD rumble and stuff, but I don't think there's a game that actually uses the Pro Controller besides I think the Puyo Puyo Tetris demo that you can get from the Japanese store. Apparently that uses HD rumble. It's a really good way to check it out for free.
I might do that
because the eShop's easy to switch between. It's quite easy to do that.
I think to buy from.
Yeah. I think that with once you switch, like, the milking... Have any of you guys done, like, the milking minigame?
Yeah.
Don't you reckon it's weird how it feels like the milk is, like, going through your controller?
Yeah, but I find that it's actually harder to feel because of the way that you have to hold the Joy-Con to do the
squeeze. That's true, too. Yeah.
But that ball counting one, I can't get over that.
It's nuts. It's really good. It's cool. It's amazing, but it's just so strange.
Yeah, it everyone goes on, and I always thought it was hyperbole, but like it really does feel like there are balls inside the controller. I don't get it.
Cool.
It's black magic.
I'll definitely not buy 1-2 Switch
would
to feel balls
in my
hand.
Would you say it's almost Switchcraft?
Sorry. I would say...
I'm kind of mad I didn't think of it
to
first.
Stop.
So I guess the next thing I had on my bullet list was sort of general hardware thoughts. We've kind of covered some of that, but
let's talk about the wrist straps. Hmm? Has anybody put one on the wrong way?
Yeah.
I haven't put it on the wrong way yet.
Yeah, oh my God. I did that first time, and I was at Vuk's place, and we're going to play Fast Racing, just tabletop mode, two-player, which is an interesting experience if you don't want to see what's going on. I put it on the wrong way, and then I'm like, fuck. What do I do? But eventually got it off. Just have to sort of
Have like a 2-centimeter gash on my hand because the metal rail, like I was pulling it so hard and like just sliced my hand open.
I did that on launch night.
Oh,
but
well,
More you use it, the more it like loosens up.
Oh, really?
I can take them off without any issue at all now. And also, don't forget about the lock on the bottom.
Yes, I remembered all that stuff, but like obviously it just gets stuck if you put it on the wrong way. But
Just for people who don't know, the lock is for the rails, not for the strap itself.
It's the other thing I've noticed. I don't know if you guys bought. I bought the neon ones because I wanted them to match.
I'm going to in a week, but I haven't yet.
They're the wrong type of color. Like you put it onto your neon Joy-Con, like the orange one, and it's off color. Like it looks fake.
Oh,
so bad.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I think it's a different plastic.
Yeah, I think that's what it is too. Like, it's not that weird kind of soft... I don't even know what it is. Like
it's porous. Not a textured plastic.
Yeah, it's like a weird porous kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, the wrist straps...
I'll probably stick with my grey ones.
I reckon the wrist straps are just, like, probably the worst thing about the console. Like, I feel like the buttons are really weird and they feel a little bit cheap. They feel Wii U to me, not Switch.
I also hate how I know why they want the strap to be on there, but I don't like how you can't take that off. Because, I mean, I say this, and it'll probably happen to me the next time I use one. I've never used a wrist strap on the Wii, and I never had a remote going through the TV.
Just wait till you're trying to take off the wrist strap, and it flings a Joy-Con straight at your TV.
Yeah. But yeah, I wish you could just take that strap bit off and just have them for the extra girth on the controller.
Yeah, I know what you mean. They kind of just dangle.
I feel like using the Joy-Cons alone, it's fine as a backup. I don't think I would use it out of choice, but it would be if, you know, you don't have enough controllers and you have more people than controllers, then it's
scary.
I've
been using the Joy-Con separately a lot because I'm when I'm at work on my break, I'll be playing it in tabletop mode because I just find that so much easier.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, that's fine, but I'm more thinking of, like, each person taking a Joy-Con and holding it sideways like a sort of NES controller size.
We did Fast RMX tabletop mode like that with
each person's
one of the things. Because, I mean, I think that's why I was sort of disappointed everything that happened with the Virtual Console not being at launch is I like the idea of you have Mario Kart on this, Super Mario Kart. Like, hey, you want to play Mario Kart? You just take the controllers off, and then there you are.
You know, I keep saying that, but then I remember how the screen, no matter what mode you're playing, is like, it's top half, split screen. Yeah.
No, it's not top half. It's side by side.
Not
Super
on
Mario Kart.
Super Mario Kart, no.
Oh, sorry,
no,
but Fast Racing was side by side.
Oh, right.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about Super Mario Kart. Yeah. That would be a good example of the whole Joy-Con, hand the controller over to a random at the airport and play Mario Kart with them.
Or if you're on your rooftop party.
One more thing about the hardware. I've seen a lot of people on Twitter talk about some issues that they've had. I've been lucky enough to not had any, but has anyone had any, like, desyncing issues or dead pixels or scratch screens from the dock or anything like that?
I put a screen protector on mine, like, the second I got it, so...
Yeah, I literally put it on before I turned it on.
I haven't looked at the bottom where, like, the USB port is. Maybe that's going to be a bit scratched, because sometimes I don't get it perfectly in the dock the first time.
That's actually not going to be a problem, because I looked at the mechanism that kind of slides it into place, and it's nowhere near the actual plug.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like a little
that's nice.
Notch in the back behind the port, and there's a plastic notch that matches it in the dock.
Oh, that's okay, so that's how it sort of slides into place without, you know, going all over the plug.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
The only thing I've had with my Pro, but I don't even think this is, I think this is just a weird, like, battery thing, is sometimes Link will be running, and then he stops running, but he just starts walking a little bit, but then he runs straight away again. Like, it's a really quick, like, almost like it's dropping a little bit. But no, like,
my horse doesn't obey me.
No, like, left Joy-Con things or, like, screens being scratched or nothing really major that's been reported for me.
Yeah, I don't have a screen protector yet. And I noticed some very, very light scratches on the left side of my screen in the bezel.
But okay. I guess at least it's the bezel and not the actual screen, but it would still be a little annoying.
Oh, I can only see them when I really look for them.
Like, I was using the screen protectors that I got with the stupid case I got given. Because I pre-ordered another one. They're like, oh, that's not going to be in for a few weeks. So do you want one of the shitty ones? And I'm like, okay. But it came with screen protectors, but I had them. But then I picked up the Hori one today because it's a bit bigger. So I'm just waiting to put that on. But I can't see any scratches down that. I'm looking at mine right now and I can't see any scratches anywhere like that.
Cool.
Can I just say, just one more thing about the hardware. How good is it? Like just aesthetically and just to hold, like, it doesn't feel cheap at all. Like, the back's got metal. It feels like it is metal, isn't it, on the back?
Not sure. It's definitely got, like, a textured coating around it, but it might be metal or plastic underneath. I'm not sure.
It doesn't feel cheap at all. Like the
no,
you know, like the original 3DS felt cheap. The Wii U felt cheap. Even the XLs, I guess, feel a bit
cheaply made.
But this feels like a solid piece of, like, serious tech.
It's sort of kind of like the Wii was when it came out. It sort of was a little bit ahead of its time. It didn't feel like an outdated thing, and then. Yeah, they sort of fell behind again, as you were saying, with the Wii U and 3DS and stuff.
Well, I think, you know...
It's like a quarter the size of everything else.
I've lovingly heard the Wii U described as the Fisher-Price iPad. Because it just...
That's pretty accurate.
Yeah, it's such a baby's first tablet sort of thing. But this...
I was worried about it being not so comfortable to hold on to, because, like, a lot of that empty space at the back of the Wii U gamepad was for comfort reasons, but I've had no problems. I basically... We'll get into more Zelda thoughts later, but I basically played the entire sort of weekend and a bit, just gone all handheld and was more comfortable than the Wii U even.
I mean, even just the Joy-Cons, like, I was really worried because, I mean, I'm a big guy. I've got biggish hands, I guess. I was worried the Joy-Cons were going to be too small to just use on their own, but I find myself the more I'm playing tabletop mode, the more I like just having them in my hand. And, you know, for in the conference, the bit where he sat on the couch for all of 2 seconds to show you how you can just lounge around with it, I love just using them like that, and it sort of feels perfect. And just, yeah. The only thing I don't like is I don't like how the analogs stick out so much. I do wish that they were... I mean, I'm probably in the minority. I didn't mind the circle pad on the 3DS.
Ugh, yeah, you're in the minority yeah. there.
But yuck. I just think that would be a bit more flush, sort of.
Nah, because I really hated the analog sticks on the Vita, and because they're just...
Yeah, these feel like a midway between sort of full-on controller analog sticks and Vita analog sticks. They're still a little bit limited in their range of movement like the Vita was, but it's not... as bad. Like, I'm able to play Zelda games and not feel like I'm, I don't know, fiddling around with an awful tiny little control stick.
I guess I just worry about, well, I got a new case today, but I'm still worried about the sticks getting damaged.
Worst case, it's not a cheap thing, yeah. but the Joy-Cons are easily replaceable if anything goes real bad.
I mean, that's the thing. If I ever did want a neon one, I could just go buy neon Joy-Cons.
Exactly. Any more just general hardware thoughts before we take a break and talk about games after that?
The kickstand's rubbish, and if you put too much pressure on it, it breaks. And
why are you
it's
pushing
badly
against
designed.
Your Switch?
I mean, it is a little bit flimsy, but at the same time, it's better
I have
than no kickstand.
If you do want it to stand up on the kickstand, it needs to be a solid surface. Like, I've tried putting it on like a cushioned footstool, and
like
it
water.
Won't. Well, no, like a cushion, like a cushioned footstool, it won't stay up on that at all.
Yeah, I tried to fly kick mine and it just fell over. It's kind of disappointing.
Oh, God damn it, Nintendo. Well,
worst thing ever.
I guess clearly on that we've reached the end of the hardware discussion, so I'll have a short break and come back and talk about some video games. Hot diggity damn, we're back, and it's time to talk about the video games we've been playing on the Switch. Apparently it was a garbage launch. We've been playing a lot of games, though. So, firstly, we'll start off with... Fast Remix. Whoa. Fast Remix or Fast RMX?
RMX.
How are we going to go for this?
The title says RMX.
Okay, well, Fast RMX then.
It certainly is fast racing.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I Neo. Didn't buy it because I wasn't super happy with fast racing Neo, but I've played it a little bit on a friend's Switch, and it's
so
sure
what
is fast
didn't you
racing.
Like about the Wii U version?
The fact that multiplayer made the resolution go kind of crappy, sort of went down to what looked like standard def if you had more than two players.
Well, I can't talk about multiplayer, but if it was the fact that the AI is just way too aggressive and difficult and rubber bandy, then that's definitely fixed in RMX.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
I'm actually getting first place sometimes.
Cool. Well, that's promising. I still probably won't buy it, but that's nice. Good to know for people listening.
Anyone got some thoughts on it? I mean,
it
doesn't feel that different to the Wii U version. It's, you know, it's the same really good racing game. I did play it multiplayer tabletop mode, and that's like a split screen down the middle. That's fine. I didn't notice any frame rates or anything. It's just, it can be hard to sort of see what's coming up when the screen's that small at times.
To be fair, it's pretty hard. It's pretty hard in single player anyway.
Some of those tracks are like so... Because you're going... like you need to learn the track and how it goes and all that. But I think it's a great... It's a good launch title. I like having
if you haven't played it on Wii U, it's a really pretty, you know, anti-grav racing game to play as a launch game.
I mean,
it probably
is
good that it came out at launch so it doesn't get like lost amongst later releases.
And I've mentioned my gripes about Shinen games before. They are technically impressive, but there's always a little bit of spit and polish that they need.
I feel like this is the spit and polish from the Wii U version.
But even then, it's the bit of character that they need.
Yeah,
I feel like it's a little bit sterile feeling in comparison. It is nice that they have the F-Zero GX man screaming, though.
Yeah, it needs a little bit of like world building, maybe. Just like a tiny bit.
Because like even F-Zero, you sort of... You see stuff sort of going on in the background, whereas everything just seems static and like, oh, that's a really cool looking nothing.
The other Every thing ship is, needs well, a theme song.
Yeah. Well, the music suits the game, so it kind of just blends in and you forget about it. But you can't play online with friends at the moment.
They have said there is an update coming for that.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Right now, it was kind of disappointing because I want to hold games nights in the Discord and there's not really anything that will let me.
Bomberman?
Bomb.
Yeah, I don't have Bomberman, so I can't really set that up myself. But
we'll probably talk about it when Bomberman comes up. But yes, you can do friend matches in Super Bomberman R. So neat. I will talk to you about the details later. Any other fast RMX thoughts before we move to the next one?
If you like racing and you don't want to wait until end of April for Mario Kart, get it.
It's like $30, I think, on the store.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Good.
Yeah. There's a lot there for your $30, so that's all good. So the next one is one that I hadn't played at all until last night. Snipperclips. How many of us have played Snipperclips so far? I know that you have, Daniel, but anyone else?
I haven't. I've watched other people play it, and it's frustrating.
Oh, okay.
It is very frustrating watching other people play it when... Also, I'm kind of... drunk and I'm like, you guys are idiots. So I'm just no.
You booze hound.
Yeah, did have a bit to drink.
I played the demo.
I played the first world with a friend.
Yeah, I basically just played the first world as well. Which how much does the demo cover?
I don't know. I stopped playing it because I started panicking because I put my strap on wrong.
So... Okay, and then you cut your hand.
Yeah, and then I had to stop playing video games for a little bit.
It's all Snipperclips' fault. So Snipperclips and Metal Gear Rising are the two games that have destroyed your hands and made you stop playing video games for a while.
Definitely.
Well, with a name like Snipperclips, you're bound to cut your hand.
So. Yeah, well, they should have been more upfront about that.
I agree.
It's nothing to do with haircuts either.
Yeah, no, I like it. I think it's cool. It's a cool idea. I don't know if I'm going to buy it. I just don't see it as a game I'm going to be able to play. Well, I can
I feel
play
the
it,
same. Like, but, like, I... just,
$30 as well. Like, I'm sure there's
I think
lots in
if
there.
If I was living with somebody that I could play it with regularly, I might. It's yeah. like super fun with a second person, but I can't see that being enjoyable by myself.
Yeah. It's like Triforce Heroes, it's terrible.
Yes.
All I want is like Triforce Heroes.
Let's yeah, I mean, I
about shit
I sort of had no idea what it was. Until I played it last night, I didn't really know what was going on. So the best way I can describe it is you're two little bits of paper and you can snip each other and you solve puzzles through doing that.
It's 2D portal co-op.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's it's actually
physics
what works.
Puzzles and shape puzzles and screaming at your friend. It's pretty much the same.
Yes. Yeah, there's lots of screaming at your friends. Yeah, it's a fun game, especially if you have other people around, I think. The demo is probably a good way to find out for free if you're going to enjoy it or not. Little tidbit, if anyone used to watch horrible Flash animations back in like the early 2000s, it's made by the Super Flash Brothers who used to make those, who made The Decline of Video Gaming. It's one that I remember watching and probably no one else does.
I remember the name. I remember the name, but I don't remember that particular video.
I think I remember the video. Is that the Legend of Zelda and the Lampshade of No Real Significance or something?
I think so, yeah. There was like covering an E3 and they made a whole bunch of jokes about the games. Anyway, we don't want to go too far off. But yeah, that was a neat little tidbit of information I found out about. So Super Bomberman R is one that I've had the joy of playing. I kind of like it. I don't like the single player very much, but I like the multiplayer.
Really? Is it that bad?
Well, I know that James has played it as well, but like my thoughts on the single player is it's what I remember the original Bomberman for NES playing like. You just sort of put into an arena, you have to kill little sacks flying around and go to the exit, sometimes press some switches, and that's really all there was to it. But I know, James, you've said that you got up to a boss at one point, so there might be more to it, I guess.
So It's like I was an idiot and I thought that it was going to be like Bomberman 64.
Yeah.
How that's like an adventure-y kind of platformy kind of game. Obviously it's not.
No, it's definitely not.
It's literally like 10 or 6 batches of 10 levels. There's a boss at the end of each one, and that before that there's like 9 arenas I guess to get through, and that can be, you know, defeat an enemy, collect 3 keys, or what's the other one? Hit 2 switches.
Press switches, yeah.
That's it. It's good. Ugh. But it gets so repetitive, and it sucks because the boss battles themselves are so good. Like, they'll throw you into an arena with, like, another bomber, one of the Dastardly Bombers, who are apparently bad guys in the series. I don't really follow the series, so I'm not sure.
There's a deep canon and lore that...
Yeah, apparently.
Deepest lore.
Chaos Emeralds.
And you kill them, in a battle, and that's pretty intense, but I do find that those battles, you generally have to almost just set up a thing where you kill yourself to kill them as well. Do you know what I mean? Because they kind of, the AI almost reads where they can stand and not get hit. So the only way...
I did notice that a bit in like playing against AI in just regular matches. They're pretty damn good at avoiding things.
Yeah, and that can get a bit frustrating. But once you kill the bomber, like he usually jumps off into a robot or a mecha, and that's like a big boss, and that's where you've got free movement and you've got to work out how to bomb their weak spots and then like take them down. And I thought, like, I've only done 2. They're really fun, but it just sucks that you've got to get through that the kind of monotony of the 9 levels before you or 8 levels before you have to take them on. Which
I found it helped a little bit with the monotony is the fact that you can have a second player join you sort of co-op through the single player campaign, which is nice. But yeah, unless you've got a really dedicated friend, they're probably going to get bored.
Yeah, and it sucks, but in that regard that. Because I haven't played it co-op. I've only done the multiplayer online with you guys, but it's like the single player is definitely not why you, like it's really hard because the game is so expensive for what it is. But then the multiplayer, yeah. Like I feel like I know that I don't think Steven you enjoyed it as much, but just like I was on voice chat with somebody with 2 other people when we were playing it, and it's just so fun. Do you know what I mean? Like there's just like the banter and like playing it is just so fun with voice.
That probably would have helped. Like, I did genuinely enjoy it. I guess we'll talk about the multiplayer a bit. It's multiplayer of Bomberman, which is the same as it always has been, but been fun.
Did Do It Vooks place a 8-player game?
I feel like, see, that would be nightmarish because, like, 4 players is so hectic.
It's very tedious as well because when you're out, it's very hard to get someone on a revenge trolley.
Oh, yeah, because when you die, you're on those little ships on the edge.
And it does get a bit like, yep, okay, I've killed myself in the first 2 seconds. Okay, back to looking at my phone.
Get good.
I mean, it's a shame the single player sounds like it's a bit of a letdown, but not, because some of the Bomberman games in the past have had really fun single player modes, and it can be done, but they just seem to have, like, I loved Bomberman DS, but that had a very, you know, The same as what you're describing, James, of the way the single player worked, is it's just tons of levels and a boss, tons of levels and a boss. And that's very, like, old school arcade-y style, like, looking back at Tumble Pop and Snow Brothers. They're all like that, but it just, you know, it's 2017, and I was kind of hoping they'd go for a bit of a Bomberman 64 different approach to the single player, and then here's the multiplayer, which is just back to basics. And especially for a game that's being sold at $90 retail.
Or $65 on the eShop, which is a little better, but still more than I think it's worth.
I mean, I've seen reviews that said, this game doesn't do much more than Bomberman on the Xbox Live Arcade did, and that was $10.
Well, I guess sort of talking about the online, I've played a little bit of it, and one thing I will say is it's quite easy to set up an online match with friends. Like, I sort of set up a room and... you know, told James, hey, I have a room open, and I think that it was pretty easy to join from your side.
Yeah, very easy.
Yeah, so that's a nice thing. I did notice a fair bit of, like, I don't know if it's lag or what, but when, sort of as I was playing, it would often, I'd sort of press a button to lay a bomb and it just wouldn't actually react. I'd have to do it a couple of times before it actually triggered and movement was a bit behind.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of lag, but... I don't know. I thought it was negligible. Like it didn't affect my performance. But
Yeah, no, it's sort of, you get used to it and it's not too bad.
Yeah, just... you do get used to it, kind of like fighting games. There's always, it's never going to be as perfect as, like, playing it offline, but you just become used to it. One thing, like, that surprises me so much is, so if you die heaps in Bomberman, the only way to continue is to use jet coins, and then...
Yeah!
Those coins are... pretty hard to come by if you use them all pretty early in the story mode. And the thing that really... And the coins, sorry, can also be used to purchase, like, accessories for your Bombermans to... Bombermans? Bomber... Men and women?
Bomber whatever. People?
Yeah, and levels and stuff. So... But what surprises me so much is that Konami did not let you buy them with real money.
Which is probably good, but at the same time, I guess an option would have been nice to be able to get the
kind of out of character
cosmetic stuff.
Yeah, that's. I don't think an option would be nice at all, but I do think. I wonder if the only reason they didn't do it is because that kind of infrastructure isn't in the Switches yet, like for microtransactions, possibly.
Well, it does have microtransactions, doesn't it?
Is there games? No, Bomberman doesn't.
No.
They've announced that there is. Going to be?
I don't think they have. Oh, okay. Like, I think someone jumped to conclusions from some screenshots on NeoGAF, but I don't think Konami have formally announced
that would,
anything.
That would never happen.
Well, you've sucked it up.
NeoGAF never assumes anything.
Well, you've just assumed
something.
Yeah, I mean,
you're right. It does seem like a game that could very easily have them in there. It's got all of these, you know, cosmetic or a whole bunch of things you can buy with in-game currency, and it is a bit surprising that they wouldn't have done it, so... I think your theory of the infrastructure just not being there kind of might be right.
I don't know. Like, that, it's frustrating, though, because they're so hard to earn, and I really want to unlock more levels, because, like, I do feel like the multiplayer shines so much when you can just play through different levels and stuff.
Yeah. How do you actually come by them, though? I know I think I might have got some from a ranked match online, but...
I think you earn them online, and you complete some story mode bits, but they just don't give them out enough.
No, like, I remember I you get a game over in a single-player campaign area, and it'll cost you 300 to retry sort of without starting the whole world over again.
Yeah.
And so I just thought I would do that, but then now I don't have any coins left, and I still ended up dying before I finished the world, and it just seemed like I can't get those coins back, and I don't quite know how. But yeah, it's a bomb, man. It's fun if you have people to play it with, I guess.
Does it have, like, all of the... classic sort of Bomberman power-ups? Because I noticed with the game we played at Vox Place, there was, like, no one was getting remote mines. It was just the sort of basic sort of kick, grab.
I don't know all the power-ups, but I know that I've never seen a remote bomb.
It had all the ones that I remember.
I've seen the ones that go through walls.
Ages ago.
Okay.
And, like, yeah, just like the grabby throw ones, the kick ones, and then there was a boxing glove, which does something I couldn't quite work out. But they're all very much the same ones as the only Bomberman I played in, like, PS1 days.
I do, I've noticed that you're, apparently, like, your individual characters have special abilities that can be turned on and off, but I still haven't really worked out how to do them.
Yeah, I noticed that I looked at the controls, and, one of the buttons does a special ability, but I have no idea how to... use it.
Like, I think they're trying to... I like how in the story mode as well, like, all the characters, like Black Bomberman and Aqua and Pink, like, they all have their own personalities, and, like, they all, like, talk to each other between levels and stuff. I think that's as cheesy and horrible and corny as the voice work is.
Yeah.
Like, I think it works really well. Like, I like...
I'm really
like
glad you brought that up, yeah. They're just, like, they're super basic, like, this is the sleepy one, this is the girl one, but, like...
This is the arrogant one.
Silly. Yeah. It's just very... I don't know. It's so simple that it's easy to laugh at, I guess. It works in a simple sort of game.
It's good. Yeah. Cool. I just wish it was cheaper, really.
Yeah, hopefully it will get cheaper.
No, I've always said if this had been a $50 launch game, everyone would have picked it up. Because it's the perfect... I've got Zelda, and I want something else cheap to play. Oh, Bomberman, that's $50, whatever.
Well, everyone must be picking it up, though, because, like, hasn't it... Like, I know it's pretty hard to get at EB. I haven't really
EB, I think... Well, I asked the guy at the Perth store, and he said we only got a limited shipment anyway, so...
I know that most stores didn't get copies, like, beyond their pre-orders, but I don't know what JB or Target or anything were like.
I did see some at Target, but... Like, JB was selling it more for more than Zelda, and I'm like... Piss off.
What?
Just, no.
Oh, yeah, like, higher price than Zelda. Yeah. I think it was priced higher everywhere.
It was $89 retail at EB.
It's ridiculous, because I think Zelda was $79 for the standard retail price.
Hurting my head.
Nah, Zelda wasn't. But, Zelda was $89 as well.
But JB had Bomberman for like $100 and Zelda for...
Really? That's so weird.
Yikes. That's ridiculous. Well, yeah, I guess we'll move on to the next game that is probably familiar, but I know that Troy's been playing the Switch version of Shovel Knight, the Treasure Trove edition. Is that, just to clarify, I know that there's two that you can buy on the eShop at the moment. There's the Spectre of Torment and Treasure Trove. What are each of them, do you know?
Spectre of Torment is just the new Spectre Knight campaign.
Okay.
And Treasure Trove
is everything.
It's like Game
Treasure
of the Year.
Treasure Trove is everything.
Yeah, okay.
Basically Game of the Year edition.
Well, cool. Also, so... I mean, if you, of course the dogs start barking now. If you bought, you know, if you got the 3DS or the Wii U version, you already get all of this extra content downloaded eventually anyway. But
they're renaming the original Shovel Knight SKU as Treasure Trove.
Yeah.
So you're always going to get all of these campaigns.
So if you buy it now on the Switch and you've already got it on the other systems and you just want Spectre of Torment, then you can just buy that. And I think that they are releasing all the other ones as like separate campaigns, but you can buy them all together as the Treasure Trove pack.
Yeah, they're all going to be individual. They're renaming the original campaign to Shovel of Hope.
Like, is that legit?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Shovel of Hope.
I did start playing a bit of the original Shovel Knight. Because I picked it up as well. I did start playing a little bit of the original Shovel Knight. And it's also got like a gender swap mode or something. So you can play, like, Shield Knight is a guy now and all of the evil knights and...
Yeah, you can body swap girls. All of the main characters. So King Knight will become Queen Knight.
Queen Knight, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a neat little touch.
So yeah, do you have, yeah, I guess, sort of general thoughts on how Shovel Knight is on the Switch and anything? I guess it's probably fairly similar to everything else, but yeah, go take it away.
Yeah, the original two campaigns are pretty much the same. Co-op is still only in the Shovel Knight campaign, but that was pretty fun splitting the Joy-Cons with my friend.
And, okay.
We played it like 2-3 hours of that on launch night because I didn't have Zelda on launch.
Fair enough.
And the new campaign is really good. Because the Plague Knight one was really hard. Because he's got some weird charge jump thing.
I loved Plague Knight. That was so... Like, once you... You know, it started out really hard, but once you sort of figured out how he jumped and moved and got these upgrades, he was even more fun than Shovel Knight to control.
I just think it's more tedious and I quite hate it. Okay. But,
so I guess onto, like, Spectre Knight. How did that control? And yeah, how do you like it?
So he's got a scythe, and he does like the anime thing.
Would you say it's a bit like Ninja Gaiden, Troy?
I don't know. I never played it.
Well, because with Ninja Gaiden, he latches onto walls and jumps up them. So you latch onto a wall, then you sort of jump onto the other wall, and so on. And I've only played like half of the first stage with Spectre Knight. And then I'm like, cool, I've played the Spectre Zelda. But I did notice the way he sort of moved was, you know, he could latch onto walls and then run up them a little bit to sort of
climb
over
that's
them.
Not really the draw of it.
Okay.
He can kind of lock onto enemies and swipe through them, and that also moves him up. So you have to kind of rely on enemies and these weird lanterns to move around in certain stages.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and the wall... jumping stuff is kind of just part of that. It just makes...
So is it like, is it new stages or is it like the existing ones but adapted to his movement style?
Existing ones, but they're heavily altered to,
Okay.
You barely touch the ground in certain stages. It's really stressful.
Fair enough. Cool. Any other thoughts on that?
Are they... When are they going to make a new game?
Well, you got the King Knight campaign next. Yeah, I don't know.
And the still... Battle Royale mode or whatever that's called.
Oh my god, move on, I reckon.
Like,
I think it was great, but like, surely they can do bigger and better things now.
Well, it's... I mean, they a lot of these were, once we get to this goal with the Kickstarter, we'll do this. So they're still just delivering on the goals from the original Kickstarter.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure they do have something in the background brewing, because I can't see how this would take all of their time otherwise.
They were skirting around it. They did an AMA on Reddit, and every time someone asks what's next, then they go, oh, what do you want to see next? Which is PR talk for...
We can't feedback, tell please. You.
Metroid Prime 4.
Yeah.
I think the big rumor from them is after Shovel Knight came out, they're like, well, we'd like to do like a Shovel Knight 64 or something, you know, like a Banjo-Kazooie or whatnot, but with Shovel, or Zelda, but with Shovel Knight as the character.
I think I'm kind of with James on this. Like, I really, really like Shovel Knight to start with, but going back, as much as each of the levels has been changed and stuff, it's just less exciting to play the game through as a different character than it is to just play an entirely different game.
But, I mean, like, an entirely different game, but starring Shovel Knight, like...
Yeah, I mean, that I mean, or something else, I think
they don't want it to be like the new Mega Man, where it's like Shovel Knight 2, and it's like Shovel Knight versus another 8 different robot.
Well,
masters.
At the moment, Shovel Knight's kind of like an indie mascot, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they are really... Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen next. I mean, Shovel Knight is sort of one of the big... You know, it's almost the reverse Mighty No. 9. It's one of the Kickstarter successes that's done gone above and beyond what anyone...
They've actually delivered on what they said they would.
They've actually almost over-delivered.
Yeah.
Whereas as someone who did not mind Mighty No. 9, I still like, that should have been better.
Well, since we're talking about Iron Number 9, we should clearly move on. Keeping it with Troy, though. So, I am Setsuna? Setsuna?
Whichever Setsuna. One it I is. I say Setsuna.
Let's go with
it's
that.
Very Australian.
Setsuna. Yes. Yeah, it's... As far as I know, this is the first time it's available outside of Japan on a portable system.
Yeah.
On a portable system, mate. Sorry. Wait for me to finish the sentence.
Technically, you can remote play it to your Vita.
Nobody does that. Move on.
Throw remote play in the bin. I have no idea what I Am Setsuna is, apart from that it looks a little bit Chrono Trigger-esque in the battle system.
Well, I never really played Chrono Trigger, but my best friend is a fan of it and kind of filled me in on it.
Good friend.
Yeah. It's basically just 16-bit era style JRPG with a really sad... Like, the whole game is just meant to be sad. Not miserable, just...
It's a big old bummer.
Yeah. Well, it's set in, like, a very snowy area, so everything just looks... And it's, like, always dusk or something, I don't know. But the soundtrack is entirely piano, and it just sounds so somber.
Okay.
It's meant to be depressing, though.
I think that's the point
of the story and stuff, but... Yeah.
But that was like the first impression. It was a depressing story. The general gist of it is you're escorting someone who has to sacrifice themselves to save the world from monsters, which is, you know, a depressing kind of concept to begin with.
I've read somewhere someone described it a bit like the Final Fantasy X plot, because
I never played X.
Neither have I, but I heard that comparison.
Yeah, I was actually literally thinking that while Troy was talking about it just then. It's very similar, but I guess it's okay because it's published by the same company.
Yeah.
Just not as, like, grandiose and melodramatic.
A lot of the artwork and the user interface and stuff reminds me of the Bravely series.
Okay, well, I guess that makes sense once again. Sort of same... I don't know if anyone on the same team, but at least I could sort of pull from the same...
Yeah, very different team, but, like, still same publisher, I guess. I'm sure they...
Tokyo RPG Factory or something, isn't it called?
They made their own team for Setsuna. I know that much, but...
Well, and the idea behind the team was to make smaller RPGs like this. Which, as we know, I like. I love smaller RPGs, Crimson Shroud.
Are they the same team that's doing... That Octopath.
No,
game?
That is
no,
the
that's
Bravely,
separate.
That's Bravely, the Bravely Default people.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Cool. Well, any more thoughts on Setsuna?
I'd recommend it if it wasn't $60.
Because
it is Australian dollars, and I don't feel it. It's
fair enough.
It's really maybe it's the mindset of a home console thing. Because it feels about, it's got similar depth to something like Bravely Default in terms of just presentation.
But it's like, you know, a $60 digital download only. Like for me, again, I'd have no problems buying this retail for $60, but the minute it's just like, oh, there's nothing physical for it. It's weird that that's sort of the stumbling point for me.
Yeah, I think that's a separate issue, though. Because not yes. everybody feels that way.
You're projecting.
Yeah, I know.
I'm pretty sure, but at the same time, if Bomberman's $90, then Setsuna for $60 doesn't seem that bad. Working the other direction, where the other indie games that I have are like $30.
I've heard that that the Japanese version from the eShop has English dialogue in it, and I'm pretty sure this got a retail release for Switch launch in Japan. So I wonder if the retail version
has English in it.
It does. So the retail Japanese version has English dialogue in it.
Yes.
Okay, I'm picking that up when I'm in Japan.
It's been confirmed on Reddit a couple of times.
Cool, I'm picking it up when I'm in Japan then.
Neat. Cool. Well, I'm not picking up 1-2 Switch, but I know some other people have. I know, like, James, pretty much everyone who's not me has played 1-2 Switch a little bit and talked about cupping balls, apparently.
Wait.
James, take it away, I guess.
Yeah, nah.
Okay.
I don't know. I find it weird. I find it, like, it's just over too quickly.
I have heard that, yeah. Like, there's just not much depth.
Yeah, like, I know that we were kind of like, how many games will there be? And then, like, we were like, wow, there's 25. But then we found out they're all, like, less than a minute, almost. Like, sometimes less than 3 minutes. And even stuff like, I know that like with, so for example, the eating contest, they couldn't, there's no way they can do that with two players unless someone has two Joy-Cons with the IR camera, but...
Oh yeah, because it's only on the right one.
Yeah, so what happens is like, so you've got two people playing this game, and they get to eating contest, and they're like, oh, so only the person with the right one can do it, and then they've got to, there's no like, I guess, competition, do you know what I mean? Like you just both take turns, and then you both manually, outside of the game, say, oh, you won, or you won. There's no, it doesn't really feel...
Hooray!
Yeah, I know that sounds like a weird thing to complain about, but it's just...
I mean, it kind of, yeah, as you say, gets rid of the competition, oh, who's going to eat fastest? It's more just like, oh, I beat the clock that you set for me. Cool.
I feel like it would be more fun if two people had to do that at the same time, rather than just everyone watching someone do it, which can be weird and awkward.
Yes.
It really is, though. When you only have two people in the room...
Most of the games are kind of awkward.
Yeah, but the eating contest, when it's just two people, which is how I played it, it's just one other person watching a person flap their mouth at a controller.
It's just so strange.
Yeah. I mean, I had a great time watching people play it, because I found that just, you guys look like Muppets at the moment, it's great. But then I only played the one where you've got a... Like, you each roll dice, and then you get told how many your opponent has.
That's stupid.
No, I think it's... I actually like the idea of that, because it's like... Then, like, if they have a high number, then you can go, oh, I'm just going to shake again, and then let them try and assume what that means. And
Dice mind games.
Yeah, it's you're meant to sort of bluff them out, and I like the idea of that.
I feel like it's too slow, like... Everyone says that this is a game that you play when you're having some drinks with friends. And that does not seem like a game that you'd play when you've had some drinks with friends.
I don't, out of the one game that I played, I liked it.
Yeah, that's because you played one game.
I played it with my dad.
I wish, from what I can gather of it, I kind of wish it was, I don't know, packed with the console or a lot cheaper than it is. I have no desire to buy it at its current price, which seems to be a going theme with a lot of stuff we're talking about today, but
I think
it just doesn't seem enough to warrant the price it's going for.
I think it could have worked with, like, double the games and then, like, a proper sort of, you know... There is, like, this sort of mini board game mode I saw them playing where you're sort of just trying to get to the end first and then, like, you'll spin a wheel and then you'll go for that number of spots and land on a square and then play that game. But I do think, you know, if it had twice the amount of games and then like a proper random mode to, you know, win as many games as possible, that could have been a bit more fun. But then this is just like, here's a bunch of random games, play them however. I mean, it's good just having that, but then if it had have had a bit more of a structured mode for competitive play, I think that would have been better.
I think it's meant to be geared more towards like the pick up and play with the Joy-Con thing. But, so I think that structured play would actually kind of be counterintuitive to that.
But you could do that structured mode as an addition to the just random pick up and play. Like, hey,
but it wouldn't be
pick and play.
But it's marketed as a pick up and play thing. So yeah, that mode.
The whole point of 1-2 Switch is for the people who don't want to play Zelda. Like, it's for the people who. Like, it's a game where you pick up the Joy-Cons and, like, it's simple. Like, it's that kind of, like, Wii or Kinect kind of philosophy.
I'm not arguing, but I still think it could have had just, like, a little sub-mode to just, you know, if you want to do something more competitive, you can. But I totally get why it's just a lol pick-up-and-play tech demo.
Yeah, I really feel like it's missing the WarioWare branding, honestly.
I think the WarioWare branding would have... It would be kind of off-putting to the more casual fans, which is why they've got those amazingly badly acted...
I know why it's missing, but everything about it is a WarioWare game. Oh, yeah. Even like the weirdness of it. It's 100% WarioWare without Wario in it. I guess that's my best way of describing the game.
Well, if that sounds enticing to you, go grab 1-2 Switch, I guess. And the last, we've left the most exciting and probably biggest discussion to last.
Neo Geo.
I know we're not going to talk about any Neo Geo games, unfortunately.
Othello.
But we've all played Breath of the Wild, and first thought, I don't think anyone is, but is anyone playing on Wii U? Okay, I'll take that as a no.
Can I just? I mean, we sort of talked about it before, but before we started recording, I am so disappointed they took the map mode out. I get why they didn't want, like, the map mode would have automatically made the Wii U version probably a little bit better. But it's disappointing that they did take that out after they showed that off specifically like ages ago. But the map on the gamepad.
It would have been cool.
Who wants to start with Zelda thoughts? Put up
It's
your hands.
Like a good dog, it's good.
Cool, next person?
Like a good cat? Nah, I actually...
Ocean, that's the next one.
I got it yesterday, and I played 10 hours? And then I woke up today and started playing again, and I played another 7 hours. And I hate open world games. Like,
yeah,
I really hate open world games.
Like, I don't hate open world games, but there are a lot of them, I don't know, like Skyrim and Fallout, I guess Bethesda games that I get into and then drop, but I don't know why it is in particular, but in Zelda it sort of seems like maybe an even bigger and possibly more empty-ish world, but it's more enjoyable to go around in, like you can climb up everything, you can... I don't quite know what it is. It feels a little bit more alive than any Bethesda open world does.
Every time I go past like a new mountain or something, I've just gotten to near where. How deep to spoilers do we want to go?
Yeah, I'm gonna say that's probably something we should discuss.
Well, you know, once you sort of finish up the plateau, where he tells you to go to next, is that a spoiler?
Let's say the next place after the plateau. Yeah.
Yeah. So when he tells you to go there, and I'm getting close to it, and I've just gotten past those two twin mountains that you've seen in all the trailers and all that, and then I'm about to go up the road up to the place I'm meant to go, and then I'm like, oh, there's a mountain there. Oh, there's like a waterfall. I wonder if I can climb up the waterfall using that ice thing, the ice pillar maker, and then I'll just start climbing up this mountain, and I'm up the top of this mountain now. I wonder if I can paraglide all the way over to there, and then it's very easy to be distracted by just the amount of movement controls that you have in it.
I think, yeah, that might be one of my favorite things about it. The traversal, I keep bringing up Skyrim, but it feels more natural than that. Like, you can go up to a mountain and you're not awkwardly trying to find the weird spot where you can walk up and slip down. Like, yeah, where the angle is just perfectly enough for you to get up there. It's like, no, if the angle is, you know, too much for you to walk, you start climbing. And if you don't have enough stamina, you might not get up top, but it just sort of makes more sense. It feels more natural than the kind of stilted exploration of Skyrim and other
Bethesda-ish everything's games. Approachable, and the combat is actually fun where I'm not avoiding fights. I'm actually picking fights with things that have like 2,000 health, and I'm like,
I shouldn't be doing fights. This. I was avoiding fights pretty early on because I kept dying.
Get good. It's real easy to die. Yeah, it really is, though.
What can Dark Souls learn from Zelda?
We nearly had a gaming conversation without the words Dark Souls.
Yeah,
But the comparison's kind of apt because...
No, it's not.
It's hard.
Thank you, James.
It's really hard.
The games have been hard before Dark Souls.
Dark Souls is the laziest. Everybody who compares stuff to Dark Souls is just so lazy. My God.
Comparing stuff to Dark Souls is the Dark Souls of metaphors.
Literally.
I've actually never... I've played like 5 minutes of Dark Souls on PC and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm dead. Cool.
Therefore, all games where you die are Dark Souls.
I feel like
that's
a more
not even,
apt...
How is that a Dark Souls thing? Like...
Devil May Cry released in,
what, no, I was going to say it's like the original Zelda.
Oh,
yeah.
Have you heard of that?
Zelda 2 is the Dark Souls of 2D platformers.
Well, like, Shovel Knight's kind of the Dark Souls of 2D platformers.
Oh my God,
I can't believe we're doing this.
Can we edit all of this out, please?
Delete it from the internet forever.
So what's the Dark Souls of puzzle games?
Let's stop this. I'm glad that I have a few notes down about what
Pokemon
to talk about with Zelda. So I think one thing that I quite like about it is, it took me a while to get my head into this sort of mindset. In every previous Zelda game, a puzzle had a solution. You had to do the exact sequence of things to solve a puzzle in a previous Zelda game. But in this, it feels like, because it's got a full-on physics engine, it feels like you can solve puzzles and solve, like, how do I get to the top of that mountain? I can do, you know, a whole bunch of different ways to get there. It never feels like you have a specific way you need to do a thing. It feels a lot more open. I keep saying natural, but yeah, it's just sort of, you can experiment with different ways to be able to, even some of the, like, dungeon puzzles, I feel like I had to get out of the mindset of, oh, I feel like I broke that puzzle by doing physics things, to like, oh, I solved that with a physics thing and now I feel much better about it.
Yeah, I feel like the shrines are like little portal test chambers, like even aesthetically so.
On the I agree with that too. But on the flip side to that, sometimes I feel like I kind of cheese some of them.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. Like,
I feel shit for doing that. Like, I don't know if you guys have found there's like an island. There's like an island over. It looks like a prison kind of setup. It's in the very top right of the map. And I floated over to it, and it's a maze. And then at the end of that maze is the shrine. But because I played so much, like, I had triple, like, stamina. I've got a triple stamina wheel. I could just climb to the top of the maze and then just jump over and fall in where I'm meant to be going. Do you know what I mean? And I guess that's my own fault for doing it, but, like... Like, I don't know, like, I feel like I wish there was ways that I couldn't do that. Do you know what I mean?
I guess that sort of reminds me of, I haven't played enough of it, so I might be making a bad comparison, but it seems a little bit like, you know, you have multiple ways to get around a situation in Deus Ex. If you don't want to do it the regular way, then you can, you know, get your stamina up and climb over it, maybe.
Yeah.
So maybe it's
not,
just another,
not really,
another
but
way
kind of
doing it.
I guess. It's like, it's probably not the best. I feel like comparison. With Deus Ex, like, if you want to cheese something, you have to have, like, the powers and the abilities to do so, like, and... Well, I guess that's what I did in Zelda as well, though, now that I think about it. But it's different. I swear it's different.
It's clicking.
I don't know, like, I do like it, but, like, even, like, I did one where you've got to, like, stasis, like, a seesaw thing so you can run up it without it dropping. And I had no idea how to, because at the very end of this shrine, like, you had to do that, and then there was another seesaw straight after it that would, like, fall down if you jumped on it, so I have no idea how to do it. So I just, like, jumped, and then shield jumped, because you know how that gives you, like, almost a double jump?
Yeah.
And then I kind of, like, fumbled my way over an edge, like, the game considered it an edge, so Link didn't fall off it, and then kind of accidentally finished the shrine, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure that was not how I was meant to do it, but it let me.
It never feels like the right way to finish it, but And yeah, I think I had that a bit, but I just sort of tried to get out of the mindset of there being a right way to do it and just take anything as a victory.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, what else? I think the one thing that sort of stood out to me is the world is absolutely huge. Like, I don't want to go into any details of any areas, but it sort of has a lot of callbacks to earlier games and areas and stuff, which I thought was really, really awesome.
And it feels a lot more natural now.
Mm.
Instead of everything being, like, right next to each other in the original, like, Twilight Princess and Ocarina of Time, you have, like, a volcano in walking range within... You know what I mean. Everything's really cramped.
The only bit that sort of got me that doesn't feel natural is, like, on the Great Plateau, there's, like, oh, you need to go up to this ice area, which sort of suddenly just sort of starts.
I guess. I think...
I mean, it's you know, it's the top of a mountain sort of thing, but it just...
Yeah, that plateau's already pretty high up. So
the thing
that stood
out to me mostly was, like... I look at sort of the original Zelda on NES versus Ocarina of Time. You first play Ocarina of Time, it's like, whoa, this is what they would have made the original Zelda like if they had the power to make a world this big. And Breath of the Wild makes sort of the Ocarina of Time world feel like a minimal representation of what they were intending to make. It sort of expands it into what seems like a more realistically proportioned area, I guess. It's just kind of weird how it has that same sense of scale that NES did to N64, except again.
Well, remember when it was first announced and I said they're trying to recapture the philosophy of the first Zelda game in terms of just throwing you in a world and letting you trial and error and figure it all out? And that's 100% my experience so far.
And I have certainly been able to just walk over in a direction to a place where I'm really not meant to go. And actually, that sort of brings me back to one other really good thing. I love going to towers and just looking for other towers and shrines to go to and going to them. Like, it just feels so much better than having here's like 8 different objective points on a map, go to each one of them. You know, go out and look for them, and you can put them on your own map as an objective point if you want to. But just, I don't know, there's just some slight... sense of exploration rather than a sense of being sort of vaguely told where to go.
Well, slight tangent, but remember when Destiny was first announced and they showed off Russia and it's like, oh, see that? You can walk to there. And then you couldn't when it came out.
Yeah, yes, I remember that.
I was still worried about that with Breath of the Wild. And then if I can't walk there, I can climb there or glide there.
Well, I mean, you know, it's like I've probably put 10 hours into it and I don't feel like I've really scratched the surface. Vuk was saying he's
You really haven't.
Yeah, and Vuk was saying he's put 50 hours into it. And, like, looking at the map that he's got when I was over at his place and the amount of hearts and all that he's got, I was like, you're not even halfway through this, are you? He was like, nah, it's just so... There's so much to do and see and just explore and...
Like, I know I'm about 25, maybe 30 hours in, and I know that this shouldn't be too much of a spoiler, but like, there's 4 major sort of dungeons that get revealed at a certain point, and I've done one of them at this many hours. I'm sure I'll get the last 3 a bit more quickly than I did the first one.
I'm
but,
about to start the second one at about 17 hours.
Yeah, oh, well, you've been a faster than
you know
me,
how I said that path. I hate open world games, and this has given me the option to play the way that I like to play, which is blitz through the story up about right to the end before it ends, and then do a whole bunch of world exploring and powering up and stuff, and then finish
one of those.
I wasn't really into open world games until recently, and then I played, I think it was Shadows of Mordor, which sort of got me into that sort of more open world explore and just sort of...
I played a bit of that, and it still felt like the entire environment was still very samey.
Yeah, I get that. And then it was like Mad Max and then Far Cry Primal. And then this is sort of like the next step on from those, whereas everything's a bit more interactive.
Interactive.
Yeah. You didn't need the last bit.
Xenoblade Chronicles X kind of introduced me to the idea of a diverse, huge environment. Because that game was gorgeous.
I think the one thing that I've, or one of the things I've found with the way the open world is structured and the narrative is structured, and I'd be keen to hear James' thoughts on this because it's fairly, you know, a bit more into open world games than I am. But I felt like the fact that there's no you don't have a specific objective to be doing at any one time. It gives you more of a chance to do things at your own pace. It's not like, go do this. Oh, then you've got to go this. There's no like imperative to go do a specific thing at any point in time. It's really, here is the whole world, explore it at your leisure. And it's kind of a bit more relaxing in that way.
Isn't that every open world game ever though?
I mean, I just feel like most open world games will give me more of a specific objective to do at any one time, whereas Zelda's a bit more, I don't know, here's all the things you might want to do at any point, but it's never, quick, go to that camp over there, go do this, that, and the other. But as I say, I don't play that many other open world games, so I might be
I think this is why, like, I'm so up and down with it. Like, I have moments where, like, oh, I love this, this is the best, like, I love exploring, and then I have other moments where I'm like, I'm doing all of the stupid shit that I wouldn't do in any other open world game. Why am I doing it for Zelda?
And yeah, fair call.
And, like, I don't know if this is a valid comparison, but, like, I've never been somebody who played a Zelda game and got heart containers, or, I guess I never collected many heart containers in Zelda, because I never really found the game to be too challenging, so I never needed them.
And never really sort of went out of your way outside of the main sort of critical line, I guess.
Yeah, and a crux of the content in Breath of the Wild is around getting, you know, hearts or stamina. And I've definitely, like, I guess slanted more towards stamina because it makes the climbing way more bearable to have, you know, 3 stamina wheels rather than 1.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people say that. I'm thinking I've made the wrong choice by going for hearts first.
Well, no, because I'm not going to say anything, but you need to have 13 hearts to get a particular item in the game. And
okay,
I just found it, and I can't get it because I've focused on stamina, and I really wish I didn't.
I wonder, this may be a hot tip, but I haven't tried it, so I might be potentially lying.
Can we start a tips and tricks section?
This will be the pro tip, game pro top tip. I wonder if there's like the recipes you can make which give you extra temporary hearts.
No,
I wonder
it has to be authentic
hearts. No, they
hearts.
Don't work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I just a bit of thing about the recipes? I wish does it keep a log of recipes?
You can look at the ones that you've cooked and see the recipe of it, but I don't think there's a long-term log after you've eaten it.
I would like... I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter with unless you're making one of those obscene blurred ones.
I feel like it's fairly, like, fairly... I don't want to say self-explanatory, but it sort of makes sense as to how the recipes go together. You'll have, like, a main meat or mushroom or fish part, and then you'll have a herb or a seasoning which will change its effects or make it more effective, and sort of just add more or less of each component to make it more effective in a particular way. Like, I haven't really aimed for any specific recipes, but I've just been, oh, I wonder if I put, you know, rice and fish together, oh, it makes seafood rice balls. That makes sense.
I don't like how my dad cooks, to be honest.
Well, that's... I imagine that's good.
Like, and that's the other thing that I... Like, I don't mean to be a downer, because I'm enjoying it, but I just don't think it's a 10, you know?
Fair enough. We need someone on the cast.
I think it's a solid 9, but not a 10. But, like, I guess it just depends. I must play games differently, because, like, I never have found a need to craft anything. Although... I did, like, the very first shrine where you have to walk through the cold areas, I pretty much just farmed 40 apples and just ate them and made my...
Oh, my God.
Made my way through that way. So maybe that's my... Oh, okay. Well, at least someone else did it that way.
Apples are great.
Yeah. And I just have never crafted in any games. Like, Skyrim, I've never made a poison or used a poison or fortification stuff. Like...
You must love Monster Hunter.
I don't... Really?
That was a joke.
Oh. I know.
But you're like, the Capcom guy, though.
I'm kind of the same. I've never really found joy in Minecraft or anything where you have to know recipes to make stuff, but
the
I don't know what it is.
I hate doing it.
I'm in the same boat, to be honest.
I'm kind of the same, but every time I walk up to a cooking pot, I'm just like, well, I'll sit here for 5 minutes cooking things and have more health items for later.
And the little
I enjoy it. Yeah, I think it might just be the happy tune that plays when you cook something or... How you break all of your pottery when you screw something up.
Speaking of the inventory management, how have we found that? Like, you know, I mean, I'm a hoarder in like games like Fallout and.
Nah, you have you to like get over that pretty quickly, I reckon.
Yeah,
yeah,
and especially because you know you've usually just like find oh this sword's better, I should get rid of the other ones, or if this one's going to be more durable. But I have found because I've there's a point where you can sort of upgrade your inventory.
Yes, yeah.
Character, and I'm like, I just want more swords. That's all I want. I want more swords because I can't have enough of them.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever got to a point where, like, yeah, I don't have enough shields right now.
Or, like, I've got, like, the bows are very, seem to be, they don't really break that often.
No, because I don't use them as my main weapon. Like, they will break, but I seem to get way more.
I mean, I just found a really good, like, I think it's a knight's bow, so I found that in a, I find, like, the items you get in shrines are usually a lot better.
I think one thing I had to get over inventory-wise is not using good weapons until I get to a boss or something, because like I was sort of sticking it out with the crappy sticks and stuff you get from Bokoblins and stuff, and then I just eventually decided stuff it, I'm going to use the actual decent weapons that I'm getting. And I find that if I'm exploring harder areas, the enemies will drop better weapons, so it doesn't really matter if you use the better weapons as you get them. So yeah, I just sort of had to get over the whole pack rat mentality that I used to have.
Speaking of boss battles, you said you did one dungeon. Which direction on a compass would that be?
We'll say the water one.
North, I think. Yeah. It seems to be the first one that everybody I know has gone to, but I
think it's the closest one to the area that you find out about them. So yeah. Everyone just kind of wanders up there. Did you have trouble with that boss?
No.
Really?
I was going to... Like, I spoke to Steven about this during when I was doing it. Like, I was really underwhelmed, but I don't know. Maybe that's because I played heaps before I got to that point. Like by the time I got to that boss, I had done 30 shrines and...
That'll change things.
And, you know, I've got the amiibo as well, like so, 10. Like, I fill my pouches up with those, all the items from them before I start each day as well, so maybe that made it a bit easier. But
I just had trouble in the second phase. It just
really
it didn't feel like
it. I think the second phase I just defaulted. Not to describe it too much, but I just sort of defaulted to the bow because like I figured I can't get close enough to do any damage, so I just tried going for critical shots and stun and stuff.
I was standing right beneath him, and I was on half a heart, and I'm just smashing the throw weapon button while facing up, just hoping that, and it did work. But that was it took me like half an hour.
Issue.
Maybe my problem is I just use the bow too much. Like, it probably makes it a bit too easy.
Well, I had to rely on it, but I ran out of arrows.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something I found. I'm buying arrows whenever I can because I never have enough arrows.
Yeah.
I think, sort of just on the bosses, probably to close out on that part of it, it's interesting that they're not sort of the puzzles that bosses used to be in Zelda games. It's not like, oh, work out how to hit the weak spot and then it'll, you know,
it's not based
make itself vulnerable
item.
To a hit. No, it's less of a puzzle and more of a just...
It's geared towards an item rather than relying on the item. Like the older games,
you have to be able to just like...
You have to have the hammer or something like that to smash armor. And this one, it's... You'll have an easier time if you use this weapon, but you don't have to.
And it can't really, as James was saying, you can't assume that someone will have a particular weapon because you probably won't.
Exactly.
But yeah, so it's a lot more of a just a... bigger regular combat encounter, I guess, except like the arena might be a little bit different depending
on
the boss.
It's really like the same issues that I have with Link Between Worlds, and I just have to accept that Zelda is different now. But
yeah, I guess so.
It's them trying to do something different. There's nothing stopping them from doing like a Ocarina of Time 3 or 4 now at this point. But it's good that they are trying new things with Zelda, because they could always... Like, I really loved A Link to the Past. A Link Between Worlds. And I would be down with another one of that. But then I'm happy this exists, whereas I'm also happy that they can try new things like Triforce Heroes and what.
I feel like both games are similar, just on different scales. Like, I don't...
Yeah.
You know, open area... or gives you really all the items you need, and it's like, okay, do whatever you want, you know?
I feel this is more of an exploration game, whereas A Link Between Worlds was just like, there are dungeons, go beat those dungeons. It wasn't like this is more about the exploration.
Yeah, well, to a degree, so was Link Between Worlds because it was non-linear. Once you get to the Dark World, it's choose your own adventure, and that's also what this is, but on a continental scale.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think maybe I'm just going to do more of the dungeon. Like, I know there's only four, which annoys me a bit. But
yeah, I think it is unusual that working out that they've sort of broken up. They've broken up the dungeons a bit more. Like they are the shrines. They're like lots of heaps of mini dungeons, and I guess getting around the world itself has some sort of dungeon elements.
How many dungeons did Majora's Mask have?
Yeah, but that was a spin-off game that was made in like what a year.
Okay, how many dungeons did Wind Waker have?
I don't know.
Not much more than this. Like, it was like five or six.
What are these false equivalency arguments, though? Like, I don't understand.
I do sort of see what you mean, James. Like, it doesn't seem like it has the game's not really centered around the dungeons so much. It's like...
Which is fine. Like, don't get me wrong.
Mm.
Like, they're more milestones now.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I've got to play more, I guess. More of those... And that's the thing, that's one thing for me, is like, I was like, okay, I'm going to go do another one. And then I was like, wait a second, there's only four of these. Like, I don't want to finish this game, the game this quickly, you know?
Hence why I've done 30 shrines in the
middle.
Which
is why I've, like, decided to just more, do more shrines and stuff.
I mean, like, I look at Skyward Sword, and, like, for me, the dungeons were the highlight of that. I mean, I've always liked the dungeons. I've always been someone who's more about puzzle solving than, like... hard as nails, button mashy combat sort of stuff. And I like going into a dungeon and slowly trying to figure it out and solve it. But then on the flip side, that's what the shrines are. The shrines are just my little sort of mini puzzles to solve.
Yeah, but okay, like, so Skyward Sword, I played that, what, 6 years ago? Like, I could probably tell you 2 to 3 dungeons from that game that I remember, like, the theme, the item I got in them, the bosses, like, there's just a lot more. Whereas, if in 7 years or 6 years, will I be able to tell you my favourite shrine? Do you know what I mean? Like, I just
I don't feel
like they have that staying power as much. Like, during the moment, they're great. And I guess that's the point of a game. Like, it really should be. Like... something that's more to play rather than create this.
There's not
going to
be any shrine that's like, oh, remember doing the minor test of strength shrine? That was great.
Or like Twilight Princess. Twilight Princess was what, 11 years ago now? Like, I can tell you all about like Blizzetta and the ice, the chain and ball like item and all of that kind of stuff. Like, I just want
I can still remember battle. The you know, the one in Wind Waker where you get the leaf for the first time.
I remember
the one in Skyward Sword where... The one I still look at, it's like the sort of vaguely Indonesian-themed lava one where you're sort of rolling around in the big balls in the lava, and then it ends with the boss sort of just rolling bombs at you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get where you're coming from, but again, I think there is room for both. I mean, there's nothing stopping Nintendo from going back and doing here's another sort of classic.
Yeah, I know, I understand that, but like, we're talking about Breath of the Wild, and like that so far, based on what I've played, like the boss battles are the boss battle that I've played, and that's the thing I should clarify is like I've only played one of four.
Yeah, none of us have gotten anywhere near finishing it.
Well, I actually came across a big sort of monster in the field that had like a sort of title or something.
Yeah, but like I've come across four of those and they're all exactly the same. Do you know what I mean? Like,
okay.
I don't know.
Even the dungeons themselves kind of feel like extended shrines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I liked the dungeon. I liked the idea of, like, because, like, I don't know if this is a spoiler, but how you can change the structure of it through the map screen. I think that's a cool idea. And how that affects how you can move through it. Like, I think that's really cool. I will probably remember that, but...
But it was still very short.
Yeah, I thought it was over a little bit too quickly. And I thought that half of it, I was like, I cheesed it again. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I sort of back to that feeling of like... Did I do this how it was meant to be done?
I'm thinking back to, like, Shadows of Mordor, and it's like, you know, that was a good open world game, but I can't remember any sort of real boss fights I had, like, outside, you know, even with fighting taking down the strongholds. It just, like, yeah, they were things that happen, but they don't stick with me.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's just a type of encounter, in a sense.
Yeah. How what are our feelings about weapon durability and all that?
I don't care about it. I know that sounds weird, but
no.
I just find, like, I find so many weapons so often.
Yeah.
And it usually gives you weapons that are going to be useful for any upcoming things as well. So it's kind of like a good way of cycling through that.
I just feel like, my inventory is always full, like, so that to me is not an issue. Mm. Like,
it's once again sort of getting out of that mindset of getting the good weapon and holding onto it forever, and more just like being flexible with what weapons are available at the time. And the game is pretty good at giving you what is going to be good for you at that point in the game. So, yeah, I'm fine with it.
Like, I just found in a shrine, like, a really good sword and a good bow, which look like they'll last me longer than the normal ones, so...
Spoiler, and I'm going, they probably won't.
I'm going to hope that when I find the Master Sword, that that's not, like, a limited-use sort of durability thing.
It is, but it comes back to you. Like, it reappears. It's weird, but...
Master Sword of Resurrection.
Yeah.
Yeah, any other points we want to bring up before finishing up this fun discussion?
I sucked at trying to tame a horse at first.
I want Nintendo to make another Metroid game.
Yes.
That's my thoughts. Is there fishing in this? Yes,
please. I don't know.
You swim and grab fish.
No,
that's how I come to fishing.
Down at the beach. Yeah. You need a fishing mini game where, you know, there's a big one.
Clearly you don't.
Dude! No!
We've all been doing it.
If you have an amiibo, you can just make it rain fish.
That's true.
Which amiibo was that?
I think it's the Link one.
I would have thought it'd be the Zelda one, because, anyway.
Oh.
How old are you? Are we done? Like,
34.
So, yeah, Breath of the Wild. We'll go to a quick break and finish up in a second. Hello, we're back. So we're just going to finish up like we normally do with a quick update of what's been going on the site, which is a fair bit because the Switch has been doing things. So if you haven't got one already, there's all the bargain guides and FAQ for what all the peripherals are, and pretty well anything you'd want to know about the system is up on the site somewhere. Hello, dog. we've got reviews up for Zelda, got Fast RMX and 1-2 Switch are already up there, and a whole pile of them coming. I know that, sort of James, myself and Troy all have a couple on the way. Bomberman, Just Dance, Snipperclips, Shovel Knight, I Am Setsuna, Voez, V-O-E-Z. I
think it's Voez.
I don't know how to say it.
Oh my god, did somebody buy that?
No, I think someone got given it. Yeah, and Skylanders Imaginators. They're all on the way at some point in the near future. If you're curious, we're all on Twitter. I am at Stephen Impson if you want to find me. Where can we find you, Troy?
Stew Review, STEW Review.
And what about Daniel? Where are your things?
At Worthintendo, WORTHINTENDO.
And I think James has a new Twitter profile from when he was last on here. Where are you?
So it's at, but then A-T, and then J-A-M-Z. So, like, it's, like, meant to be, like, meta and stuff.
We'll have links in the show notes for anyone who is not meta enough to understand that. Yeah, so that's us for the Fortnite week episode. We'll be back next time. We'll catch you around. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Peace out.